Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Akash, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to OnePoint One Solutions Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone telephone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Sashank Ganesh from EY. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Akash. Good evening to all the participants on the call. Good morning to all of you from the rest of the site. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain known or unknown risks which may affect the forward-looking statements, uncertainties, and other factors. Therefore, it must be viewed in conjunction with the business risk that could cause further result performance or achievements that differs from what is expressed or implied. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have a senior management of OnePoint One Solutions, presented by Mr. Akash Karnik, full-time director and chief executive officer of Global Business, Mr. Rajiv Desai, co-founder of Evolix, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Jha, chief financial officer. We'll start the call with a brief overview of the past quarter, followed by a Q&A session. We would appreciate your cooperation in restricting yourself to two questions to allow participants an opportunity to interact. If you have any further questions, you may join the queue and we will be happy to respond to them if time permits. For that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Karnik. Over to you, Akash.
Thank you, Sashank. Thank you, Sashank. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining 1.1 Solutions Quarter 1 Financial 27 Earnings Call. In today's call, we will cover the company's performance for the quarter, the strategic transformation underway across the businesses, and how our investments in AI, global delivery, and domain capabilities are opening up significantly larger market opportunities for 1.1 Solutions.
Fidelity camera, audio disconnected.
1.1 began 17 years ago with a simple conviction. Every customer interaction is an opportunity to create value. From a single operations floor, we've grown into a dual-listed enterprise with a global footprint, deep domain expertise, and a portfolio serving 100-plus marquee brands across banking, insurance, healthcare, telecom, aviation, automotive, and other emerging industries. Today, we are moving beyond traditional outsourcing to build 1.1 solutions as a global AI-powered customer experience and enterprise operations company, bringing together human expertise, agentic AI, domain depth, and global delivery to engineer measurable outcomes. This evolution is at the heart of our strategy and defines the next phase of our growth. Over the years, we deliberately invested ahead of the curve in technology, domain capabilities, and global delivery. We recognized that AI would fundamentally reshape customer experience and enterprise operations, not as the automating individual task, but by changing how work is designed, executed, and measured. That journey led to creation of 1.1 Technology Labs and subsequently the launch of Revolix, our agentic AI platform built around Revolution as a service. Revolix marks as an important shift in our value proposition, from managing activities to taking accountability for resolution. The next phase of customer experience will not be defined by how many interactions a company handles. It will be defined by how effectively those interactions are converted into measurable resolutions and business outcomes. As highlighted in our investor presentation, our strategy is built on dual engine growth. First, our global human service engine significantly strengthened this quarter by the full integration of Netcom, which deepens our presence across the Americas and expands our ability to service enterprise through global delivery, multiple capability, domain expertise, and multi-shore operations. It also creates larger platform from which we drive organic and introduce AI-led transformation across existing and new enterprise relationships. Second, our agentic AI engine, powered by Revolix, is a differentiated enterprise AI platform, bringing agentic AI, orchestration, and domain intelligence directly into enterprise workflows focused on high-value opportunities. Together, these engines create a powerful growth model, global delivery, and human expertise, complemented by agentic AI and intelligence orchestration. More importantly, they strengthen and accelerate each other, creating greater scale, capability, and value for our customers. As automation scales, we see the opportunity to progressively shift our revenue towards higher margin AI, orchestration, and outreach models. while human expertise moves towards more complex, judgment-led work. Our presence across multiple domains, geographies, and delivery ecosystems gives us a strong foundation to build intelligent, scalable, outcome-focused enterprise operations. We believe the next era of customer experience will be defined not by isolated AI developments, but by reconnecting intelligence that unites AI-human expertise, domain depth, and operational execution. Rovilex is built precisely for this shift, embedding intelligence into real enterprise workflows and solve complex, regulated business challenges. Technology can automate domain intelligence, enable better decisions. Human expertise brings judgment and accountability. This combination lets us move beyond traditional capacity-led outsourcing towards measurable, outcome-focused enterprise operations. Our global delivery engine, domain depth, and agentic AI capabilities position us at the intersection of customer experience and enterprise operations. We are not preparing for the next phase of market, we are building to lead it. 1.1 is IR for outcomes. On that note, I will hand over to Mr. Abhi Desai, the co-founder of Rovilex.
Thank you, Akash, and good evening to everyone who has joined the call. For 3 decades, India has thrived as the world's back office, powered by the scale and efficiency of BPM. Agentic AI is creating a fundamental shift in enterprise operations. Systems that can plan, decide, and act are moving AI beyond assistance and towards execution, orchestration, and resolution. We don't see this as a replacement of human expertise. We see it as an evolution from a cost and headcount-led model to an intelligence and outcome-led model. The sector will need deeper, more integrated roles that merge human judgment with machine efficiency. The future belongs to operating models where human contextual intelligence works alongside the speed, scale, and precision of AI. That is the shift we are building with Rovilex, moving enterprises beyond managing interactions towards intelligent, accountable resolutions at scale. Rovilex, differentiated through its resolution as a service model, is designed to move AI beyond assistance to act, orchestrate, and deliver measurable resolutions across enterprise workflows. Resolution as a service is an operating and commercial model that orchestrates AI agents, workflows, enterprise systems, funds, data, and human expertise under one accountable partner to deliver agreed customer or business outcomes, moving enterprises beyond software development to a strategic operating partnership focused on measurable results. Rovilex is built around an outcome accountable model. We do not charge clients simply for a software license or agent capacity, but we take ownership of the resolution architecture end-to-end, from the AI layer and data extraction to backend integration and ultimately the business outcomes themselves. This is fundamentally different value proposition. Instead of investing in disconnected tools and managing multiple vendors with no accountability for the final outcome, client gets one partner that brings intelligence, integration, and execution together, accountable for the resolution itself. We're leading the shift from conversations to resolutions by creating AI that acts, orchestrates, and resolves, not just answers. And history shows that efficiency expands markets. Resolution is how we deliver them. Our integrated stack spans across voice, chat, email, social, IVR, and video. With AI embedded across the entire journey, one partner for connected intelligence across every enterprise function. More importantly, our global operating footprint gives Rovilex an advantage that pure-play AI vendors cannot easily replicate. Operational experience across languages, nearshore capability across the Americas, and regulated industry delivery on 4 continents. Each center serves not only as a delivery engine, but as a real-world environment to deploy, validate, and scale intelligent solutions. The software-to-service gap remains one of the biggest challenges for CX leaders, and Rovilex bridges that gap by combining AI, integration, operational accountability, creating value to clients while strengthening our own economics. Faster resolutions reduce agent hours per interaction, improve utilization, and lower
the cost to serve, creating a dual advantage, higher value delivered to clients with stronger operating leverage for 1.1. We're seeing encouraging early traction, 12 live deployments across 7 enterprise clients, spanning across insurance, aviation, banking, automotive, and digital assets, including 2 of India's largest life insurance, 2 Central American banks, 1 through the Nexcom BCC acquisition, a leading Indian airline, and a premium European automotive marquee. Most significantly, the nature of these engagements is changing. The market is looking beyond capacity towards AI-led measurable outcomes. 1.1 brings global delivery, domain depth, human expertise, and enterprise accountability. Resolix brings agentic AI, intelligent orchestration, and resolution as a service. Together, they create a connected operating model designed to move enterprises from conversations to resolutions and deliver measurable outcomes. With that, I hand over to Mr. Sunil Kumar Jha, our Chief Financial Officer, to take you through the numbers. Over to you, Sunil.
Thank you, Adisar, and good evening, everyone. Let me take you through our financial performance for Q1 Financial Year 2027. A quarter that makes a steep change in the scale of company as a first full reporting period to consolidate Nexcom BCC. On a consolidated basis, revenue from operation from Q1 Financial Year 2027 was 158.3 crores, a growth of 64.6% quarter on quarter and 129% year on year. This growth was driven primarily by the first full quarter consolidation of Nexcom, supported by growth in customer program volume across the base business. EBIT stood at 39.4 crores, up 56.0% from 25.2 crores in Q4 Financial Year 2026, and 91.5% year on year, and EBIT margin of 24.9%. Profit for the period was 16.3 crores, up 58.7% from 10.3 crores in Q4 Financial Year 2027, and 72.8% year on year basis. Basic earnings per share for the quarter was 0.62 compared with 0.36 in the corresponding quarter in last year. Let me address the margin directly. The consolidated EBIT margin of 24.9% reflects the change in delivery mix from Nexcom consolidation and finance cost of 8.1 crore for the quarter, up from 1.9 crore a year ago, primarily reflecting acquisition related borrowing. On a standalone basis, our core operation delivered revenue of 61.1 crore, up 11.6% year on year, at an EBIT margin of 30.4%, demonstrating the continued health of the base business on which the global platform is being built. An integration synergy and the revenue mix shift toward AI orchestration, an awesome link model. We expect margin to improve progressively over the coming year. Q1 continues the momentum we have built over the past several quarters. We remain confident in our ability to capture the significant market opportunity ahead by scaling regionally, deepening existing customer relationships, and expanding our customer base. Our growth strategy is deliberately balanced, resilient core revenue, the ramp up of new customer, and diversified pipeline of opportunity across market and capability. With a healthy customer pipeline, growth enterprise demand, disciplined capital allocation, and relevant gaining traction in live environment, we believe 1.1 is at the beginning of significant multi-year growth opportunity. Our dual engine global delivery and agentic AI giving us a strong foundation for scale, while disciplined capital allocation and operational execution remain central to how we grow. Our focus remains clear, sustainable, profitable growth with continued several investments in innovation, talent, and scalable global capability, and a translation of those investments into stronger operating performance and long-term shareholder value. Thank you. We are now happy to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on the telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on the telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Mr. Yogesh Patil, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir. And congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, just to want to continue on the current result, how do you see this year? And is there any major one-off in this quarter?
Hello, thank you for your question. Could you come again? Your song was a little feeble. Could you speak a little louder one more time, please?
I think the numbers are really very good. Any kind of one-off or any kind of project completed in this quarter, or do you see this run rate will continue for full year also?
This is the first quarter where we've consolidated Netcom completely, so this is not kind of a one-off number. And we believe we should be able to try and double our revenue this year, and that's what we are currently embarked on. So we believe that we'll be able to get, and we're fairly confident that we'll be able to get a good run rate this year, and all our numbers should really be intact, and it's not a one-off number.
No, I'm saying in consolidation also, it is a pure consolidation, and nothing one-off in project.
No, it's a consolidated number.
Okay. And where do you see traction for, let's say, traction in terms of segment? You rightly highlighted insurance company and banks. So can you throw some more light on continuity of this?
The continuity of the numbers itself is coming from our purely consolidation of numbers and our acquisition that happened last year. From a growth perspective, we are very safe at the right point where our agentic AI solutions, along with our human-based systems, will try and bring in far more results to us. So these numbers do not currently have any impact from our delivery perspective. So all seems to be in very stable and good numbers here. AI will continue to grow and start bringing in better margin numbers for us in the coming quarters.
Okay. And then, in terms of we also using AI. So in last quarter we started some benefit, but if we attribute to usage of AI, what would be the roughly quantifiable number? Can we quantify what is the productivity gains because of the AI use and mix of the employees, manpower and AI?
I'll try and answer this question in one of the examples. In one of the large airlines that are currently operating out of India, we've been successfully been able to deploy AI to seek benefit of our 30% of the employee size and thereby bringing far more value-added services to them. So as our projects start growing up quarter on quarter, year on year, you will see the impact of AI on our revenues in the coming 12 to 18 months.
Okay. And sir, over a one hypothetical question, over 3 to 5 years, so how do you see yourself, and what are the geography and company sectors will contribute to growth over 3 to 5 years?
We will be growing on India and LATAM, while entire the Americas will be able to increase the revenue pure because of the dollar arbitrage, and India will also continue to grow from an AI contribution perspective. But you will see a lot of business showing up a larger volume purely because of dollar arbitrage from Americas. From an industry perspective, while there is focus across industries, but you will see a lot of work coming through the banking industry and a little bit on insurance side, healthcare. These are some of the industries that are showing trajectory right now. We'll also see some more trajectory coming in travel and hospitality also.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
For the opportunity and congratulations on a good headline number. I was just going through your presentation and I'm actually surprised that you've not even split between NEXCOM and your base business. Can you split that up? It should have been part of the presentation though.
NEXCOM right now in this quarter contributes especially about 50% of the numbers that we see here.
That's on revenue and on EBITDA?
Around the same numbers.
60%, so you have a actual number, so 60-40. So your business has not grown, the base business has not grown, is that what one should assume?
No, the base business has also got its own growth.
So if I take 40% of 160 crore which you have reported, it is 64 crore.
The growth has been about 50%. The NEXCOM contribution is 50%, 50, not 40.
This was 60 years now, right?
No, I said 50. Maybe the voice does not translate well. I said 50% of our revenue contributions is from NEXCOM. And likewise for other contributions.
Okay. And so NEXCOM, what are the margins?
NEXCOM is around the same kind of a number that we're currently looking at. So the margins are ranging between 24% to 25% margins there as well.
Okay. And you have now debt of 220 crores. So what is the plan with respect to the debt? Do you plan to bring it down, raise equity, or will you pay off from the earnings? What is the idea?
I think our cash earnings in the coming quarters is only going to increase. The cash generation is fairly positive. So the debt servicing is going to become easier in the coming quarters.
Okay. And do you have more acquisition plans?
In the next about 3 years, we intend to try and acquire about another two companies that we are trying to look at. So those are on the radar. But this time we are looking at companies which have 4,500 brands and that can really bring us to the largest segment of North America. And that's been the prime focus for us to look at acquisition. Also our focus is showing that these companies where we can really leverage our AI to really try and make a differentiation, create an exit barrier and bring in far more value to these businesses.
And how much revenue is contributed by the agentic AI in the current quarter?
We just launched our agentic AI this year in early in the year in May, and we've been able to successfully deploy close to about 67 projects across the world that we are currently doing in. So revenue is just catching up on this stream of events. We should be able to see a good amount of revenue showing up in a horizon of about 12 to 18 months, or probably even slightly more.
So, these are what, voice-based agents, or these are chatbots?
Both. You've got voice and chatbots both, but if you want specific more questions, I'll have Rajiv give a little more insight in terms of our SLX as a product.
Sure.
Thank you, Akash. To answer your question, these are not just voice and chatbots, but these are end-to-end workflows which are designed to provide the end resolution to the query that has been asked. So it's not just a pure play contact center play in terms of AI, but the entire customer experience space where AI is being used to personalize the conversations, personalize the journey for the end customers and their outcomes. So this is across voice, email, chat. And the workflows which are deeply integrated into the ERP systems of our clients.
So what I gather by listening to management commentary on other listed players, especially in the finance sector, NBFC, banks, and all that, this voice agents, automated voice follow-ups and all that seems to be now industry standard. You know, everybody seems to be saying that it is initially automatic dialing and that's far more efficient than agent calling up a customer. So where are you in terms of deployment of that technology?
So we have actually gone far more ahead than that. So what you are actually seeing in the market is just a replica of an IVR voice blaster. What they are doing is they are replacing the mundane voice of an IVR with a human-like voice and calling themselves as AI. What we are doing is that we are not just calling and making a sales pitch, but we are looking at completing the onboarding cycle, the service cycle, and then the entire value chain that happens after a customer acquisition for a product company. So we are far more ahead and deepened into the AI agentic ecosystem than just making outbound calls and, you know, behaving as a supplementary to a voice lobster that is happening there.
Okay, so you already deployed all that. Has it resulted in any savings? Because I don't see margins going up because of that. Or does it lead to pricing pressure and therefore margins will remain same?
No, so we've already deployed this. We have 12 live engagements which are going on across 6 enterprise clients. The overall deflection or absorption to human is close to about 30 to 40% depending upon the use case where we've deployed this. On the margin side of things, Akash, if you want to throw some light, that will help.
Absolutely. So as you said that we have just started inching our work on the AI side and regulations gaining traction in the business today. So the margins have shown up in a few of our projects that we've implemented where we can really see a great number coming up. But from our larger scheme of events in terms of our revenue and numbers today, the numbers are very small to be brought out or to be noticeable at this stage of AI business.
Because what I understood from this NBFC and banking is that this has been going on for a while and they all talk of very high efficiency, especially, you know, in things like collection and all, automated calling is helping them a lot.
No, you're absolutely right. And there have been a lot of noise around AI, but most often than not, AI is misconstrued in terms of what is actually offered and what is.
No, they don't call it AI, they just call it automated calling.
And we are slightly different.
Well, that's my question. Since you also run voice-based BTO, are you using that technology? That is my question. Not really on AI.
I'll invite Rajiv to speak a little more on the technology stack here.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the tech stack in-house available. That's what the Resonix platform is built on. So the automated calling is essentially nothing but a dialer, you know, spitting out calls to wherever you want them to basically action. So we have our own in-house dialer, which is built on two PABX technologies that is available globally. So that is also something that we've built in-house. So to answer your question, yes, we do have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Ram Prabhudas from Neemtree Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Could you just tell me more about Resonix and the whole definition of the service thing?
Sure. So typically what happens is that when large enterprises want to deploy or put something which is, you know, more advanced in nature, they end up buying a tool or an ecosystem in the market. And then that comes in as a bolt-on. What happens is that you are buying a software, you are buying a product, and then trying to integrate it in your ecosystem. And all of this heavy lifting is typically done by the organization or the systems integrator who is there in between. Where Resonix differentiates is to exactly kill the software service gap, and we own the resolution end to end, which means that you are buying a product to envision and streamline the customer journey to a great extent. We are not selling you a product, but we are selling you a service that will actually help you bridge that gap so that you are able to get the end outcome. Because you can buy a product, but you may not know how to extract value out of it. So we've developed this platform to multiply scale for a particular client,
but we do the entire end-to-end orchestration to meet the end objective of our clients.
Okay, can you hear me? Just wanted to know if you've had any recent deployments for clients and how they come out.
Sorry, I missed the initial part. Can you please repeat, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to know about any recent deployments of the products.
Yes, we've deployed this across multiple clients, right? So for the airline industry, we've deployed this to manage the entire customer services operations to a great extent. And we are deepening our deployment there to manage almost about 70-80% of the times why you would call up an airline. So we are doing that already. Outside of that, we have deployed this for a marquee Italian bike manufacturer where their channel was more to just have a great customer engagement. We've actually turned that around and flipped that into a lead management system. So today, just by deploying that agentic ecosystem, their interaction channel is about generating 17-18% of their sales. And we are now going to further integrate with their inventory management system so that customers can get to know whatever they are ordering and how they can kind of turn that into a revenue generating model as well. Outside of this, we've deployed this across two Central American banks as well, where we are addressing the peaks that are coming through because of the taxation season in terms of how to find and extract the maximum redemption from a tax standpoint. So all of their queries, close to about 98% of those queries are being managed by the Resolix platform. We've also deployed this for digital signatures validation for a Central American bank where almost about 57% of the queries are today managed by the Resolix platform. Outside of this, we have also deployed this in the insurance side of things in India where the entire onboarding and welcome calling including validation of what you subscribe for is done using the platform. We are looking forward to scale this up significantly across all Indian languages and almost about 7 to 8 products that that insurance company has. So we are looking at significantly deploying these bots, and every bot will be deploying approximately 40 plus bots across these permutation and combinations just for the insurance company.
All right, thank you so much. That's really interesting.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on the telephone keypad. The next question is from the line of Mr. Nachiket Kale from Jagannath Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening, team. Congratulations on the excellent delivery as per your guidance, and thanks for your opportunity. Some clarification on the, could you help me understand what is this 1.1 Singapore acquisition into another entity and the whole subsidiary structure there?
Sure, I'll take this answer for you. So 1.1 Solutions, early in about last year, we acquired a company, which is a Singapore-based company, primarily to really set a platform for us to engage and build on our AI stack. That same AI stack, we relaunched it earlier in this year by the name Resolix. This company that we acquired in 2025 was have only platform, but they did not really have stack to really cater towards industries. We further reinvested in that along with various sets of capability and domain expertise that we have and brought it to life. Now, this was kind of a reverse engineering as we currently go to the market with. The strategy was very clear. While everybody in the market is offering AI or a bot kind of a resolution, but they are mostly dependent on third party products with very limited control and limited access to bring in value to the customer. And that's how we created this entire ecosystem to really support the zone now. And we are not only supporting our existing partners and businesses, we are also taking Resolix to a stage where it has been independently sold as a product online for captive and other GCC markets as well.
Right, so
have I answered
the question? Resolix actually started from Singapore, is it? Or it originated here, so
It enhanced our time to delivery and solutions. We always have an AI stack with us, but it requires a little more platform building and other support. We found the right match to really propel our solution in the AI ahead, and that's where we integrate both to take this journey ahead.
Okay. And do we already have any ongoing revenue generating business in Singapore?
No, not in Singapore, but we have some in Middle East, we have some businesses in Europe, some businesses in LATAM. We are also providing solutions on AI-based activities in India to multiple industries right now. While the volumes are currently very small, but we are very, very positive and bullish that it will pick up in about, tracking about 12 to 18 months to a sizable number.
Okay, good. And next question would be for Mr. Tadi. Pursuant to our previous interaction, it's great to see the progress on the ResolveX platform. Just a fundamental question as to how does the velocity of this business build over, say, medium term of 2-3 years? Because, you know, as you say, resolution as a service, so it revenue generation is not, you know, like the fundamental shift in the revenue generation model. Now, it could be, is it fair to assume that as time progresses, the platform itself will become so good and the type of queries and number of queries which will be solved and delivered, those will go down ideally. So, how does the revenue generating structure stay in place as efficiency improves in the future?
Sure, that's a fantastic one, and I'd like to throw some light in terms of how this platform is going to evolve over a period of time, right? So today,
initially, there will be the volume of things you get to solve will be very high. But as the process improves and, you know, once the query is solved, ideally, if it just repeats, okay, but maybe the repetition itself will stop going ahead.
So there are two aspects to answer this question, right? The first one is what happens once you have resolved a query for a particular type. Now, the reason why someone reaches out to a product company is because he is not able to self-serve. Or if he is able to self-serve, it is too tedious for him to find out how to get it done on his or her end. Yes. So you have to fix the upstream and downstream both at a product level if it is a product company.
Right.
Now, our objective is to build around and wire the customer journey in a way that without changing your backend system, you are still able to provide and orchestrate the journey, which is a simpler math for anyone to do rather than trying to build the backend and try to resolve that particular defect.
That's right.
Whatever gets resolved using the agentic AI platform is repetition, which means that we have already solved for it once and we've understood the workflow. And now 100 customers, 2,000 customers can keep going through that journey and it will get resolved on its own. So now, on every resolution that happens using that without having to change the backend system is a revenue that gets generated for us.
Okay.
And in a large institution, changing a backend or an ERP or doing something is a mammoth task. Their existing IT teams are, you know, filled with so much work that they do not have time for advancement because they are continuously chasing on new developments that need to be done or new launches that need to be done. So that is where it kind of answers itself, right? The second part is how we are looking at the platform to evolve. Now, today what you're seeing is 4 enablers on the ResolveX platform, and these are small pieces of the jigsaw. Eventually, what we envision to do is build this as an entire CX platform, which means right from the time of creating a requisition to onboard something, screening of that particular candidate, onboarding of that candidate, training that candidate, assessment of that candidate, servicing of that using human in the loop, generating insights, doing quality monitoring, doing exception management, and then finally resolving it end to end using the analytics layer. That is how this platform is going to evolve over the next 20 to 24 months, which means that this is going to be a single platform that will help agents and agentic to coexist in a space where 60-70% of the task is done by agentic. The remaining 20-30% is managed by agents in the contact center, making it a holistic ecosystem and a one-stop solution rather than taking piecemeal solutions from everywhere in the market.
Okay.
So right now what we are doing is using these four enablers, we are getting a foot in the door in terms of trying to solve for a problem that a client has. The strategy is very clear from a land and expand standpoint, right? Once you have a proven customer on a particular activity, the trust is built and then you can expand on top of that. The biggest barrier to, for a lot of companies is to have enterprise clients, and over the past 2 to 3 months what we've been able to do is get seven large enterprise clients. Now, for us, expanding that and eating away or cannibalizing over the competition which has the larger pie of business is going to help us clear the growth from there on.
Right.
And then it is replicable because the platform is ours. So, the system that we built it at a microservices level is we are using the clients to build a forward deployed engineering team for us. So, for I have already built a center of excellence. For insurance, welcome calling, onboarding, I already have built a center of excellence. Now all I need to do is keep on adding clients for duplicate and expand.
Okay. So on the insurance bit, you know, so the governing IRDA has made this Bima Central platform, and there was a lot of friction for the companies to really get going on the Bima Central and go paperless, basically. So, is that the ecosystem where we are involved? And because I'm just trying to imagine that there will be a lot of queries, so of course, quantifiably, you can deliver a lot of outcome there.
Absolutely spot on. All our services are based on API-led microservices layer, and we will enable us of bringing it to life in terms of a paperless environment. Today, what we are doing on the welcome calling and you know the clearing of cases and stuff like that, we are superseded that a human can already deliver. And in days to come, we will be able to benchmark this brilliantly well. And this is going to be one of the biggest use cases in the industry, especially in the insurance side, on how can agentic AI be successful and help steer the for those insurance companies.
Okay. So, is it safe to assume that you are at the forefront of this and there is not much significant competition, or are there other companies involved?
You can fairly say that, and we would believe so because we are the ones who are owning the end-to-end outcome. The other companies are selling isolated solutions. When you don't own anything and you provide isolated solution, I don't think there are many markets, right? Because customers today will pay for something that provides them a solution without they having to, you know, spend any effort on that. So that's a sweet spot for us.
Right, absolutely. So, and this, so your customer will always be the insurance companies and not the IRDA or Bima Central in itself, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
We just integrate directly to the Bima Central as well, but that is So we first want to, you know, gather around the likes of large organizations that are out there, and once we've done that, is when we go one step deeper in terms of integrating with the actual ERP systems or the core systems or insurance.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That was like very insightful, and for me, my questions are very basic. Just one small question. On the ESOP front, what is the amount of ESOP issued, to be issued, vesting period, and what's the cost which will be incurred?
Sir? Hello?
Yes.
So, in our company, ESOP policy has already uploaded on website. So, we have vesting period is 1 year. When we have defined some levels, after L5 level we are issuing ESOP, and once they will complete a year, then he has right to vested option like that. So as on date we have issued around 3 lakh pieces of like that. But out of that, this thing has very less amount like that. And cost is, we are expecting around 2 crore like that.
2 crore is annual or quarterly?
The model is very clear. We are not issuing a discount. So in companies zero.
Sorry, your voice was a bit shaky. Could you repeat?
Hello? Sir, our ESOP model policy is we are issuing ESOP at the current market price. So cost to company is zero. We are not issuing any discount or any place value. So if you talk about costing part, then cost to company is zero.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for the answers. I'll get back to you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Arjun Tambe from Aurelia Crest. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello? Am I audible?
You're audible, sir.
You are audible. Most of my questions have been answered. Thank you for that. I just wanted to know the blended cost of debt of the company and what plans does the company have to deliver the books?
Can you answer the question? Still, let me see the Latin gather as well.
I just wanted to know the blended cost of debt of our company and how does the company plan to deliver the books of our company?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. If you talk about the debt, we have, our company has debt-free company. We have only taken exposure of debt in acquisition of Netcom, and that effective cost around like 9% like that. So our, as Akasha has explained earlier, our company has a strong cash flow position, and that is of our debt repayment schedule.
All right. And what are the current active deal pipeline for 2027 and what is our conversion rate for that?
I'll take that one. Currently, we are hovering around a good 10-12% of our conversion. We have an active pipeline across all cohorts. We are doing and pursuing deals across Latin America, America, India, and with the growing numbers with Netcom. So, comparatively, we have a sizable number. But just to give you a simple number, that organically we see about 20% net growth year on year for us.
All right. And just one more question, if I may. When you are evaluating a prospective acquisition target, what key metrics drive your decision making?
We are first making sure that our target company that we want to acquire are EPS accretive. And secondly, we are looking at right now North America as a market which has got customers that can really announce and really move us in the North America region.
Alright. And just a follow up on that. So, on an average, how many quarters do you anticipate it will take for a new acquired entity to become margin incrementally accretive?
Or is it already now in the results? It's already started showing it up.
Sorry. You answer.
No, go ahead. Go ahead with the question one more time.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know that how many quarters do you anticipate it will take for our company, for a newly acquired entity to become EBITDA accretive on a consolidated basis? Or is it from day one?
It's already from day one.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on the telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Malay Samir from Rectus. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for letting me ask a question. My first question is, what is the entry to barrier for competition to come up to a level and start matching our service levels?
Hi, Akash. I'll take that question. Today, what we are doing is we are owning the client end-to-end. Today, if you talk about any other company, they have bits and pieces of a service. So for a BPO who is out there, they are providing manpower to the client. Then they are taking AI or AI as a platform from a different service provider. Then they have to integrate, they have to own the resolution. And if there is an SI or a tech stack that needs to be put in, they will bring in a third vendor to make this happen. So in this entire journey of what they are trying to do, there are so many stomachs to feed. And it becomes impossible for them to kind of, one, meet the rates, second, the quality, and own the entire end-to-end outcome for the client. So that becomes the biggest barrier from a competition standpoint. Today, we are a one-stop shop for providing end-to-end resolution across manpower, AI, and technology stack across domains that we exist today. So that is our strongest point and the entry barrier to a lot of customers, because you will have multiple necks to choke if something needs to be done in coordination and collaboration. So that is where we kind of come in very handy to our clients in terms of owning it end to end.
I greatly appreciate that. Now the second question is, are we the only one giving this service in India? And are we the best who's offering this kind of service in this domain?
As per what I last remember, none of the BPOs have their own agentic AI tech stack. They are still trying to build it on their own or taking these services from a third-party outsourced vendor who's providing these services. So today, I can say that we are the only ones who exist in India who have the domain plus tech stack plus AI agentic capabilities, which is truly born within the organization.
All right. So obviously, you've shared before as well that from the headcount hours to the resolution, it's a very good vector to shift to, and I accept that. My question is, how do you monetize it? Because when you're just counting headcounts and the hours, it's very simple to make the maths work. But when you talk of resolution, it goes into a subjective domain. So how do you monetize it?
It's complicated when you kind of think of it, but it's very simple, right? So say, for example, what is the cost of resolution to get a query addressed? Is someone trying to get an answer over a chat, so you consume some time on chat? The query did not get resolved on the chat, you had to move to a different channel. So the same customer went ahead and made a phone call to a contact center to get a resolution. You need to add what time was spent on the chat and the text stack to kind of bring it to life, plus the time that it was spent on the telephone and the agent cost to kind of do it end to end. So that gives us the cost of current resolution for the chat. Today what happens is that if I have agentic AI deployed on chat, I own the end-to-end outcome, which means a 5-minute conversation can today become a 2-minute conversation because I'm not shifting in from one channel to another channel. So it is still time and motion driven, but the way you calculate it is what makes things look differently.
Okay, I understand. Now, suppose we are catering to the airline industry, and then we move into a new industry, say hotels. So what is the kind of investments and efforts that we go into flipping or rather adding hotels to your kitty?
So today, that's what I was trying to explain earlier, that today forward deployed engineering team, which means the domain expert, is only deployed when I have it at the back of a client. And because we've been in this business for over a decade and we've been servicing these industries, we understand each of these domains at the back of our hand because we are managing almost 85 to 95% of an operations for a client. So we understand the domain, we understand the workflows, we understand what the breakage points are and how do we own it end to end. So today, if I have aviation as a sector where I have deployed this, I also have an understanding of an insurance of how it operates. But do I invest in a person or a team who studies insurance end to end and then I will look out for clients outside in the market? The answer is no. I draw parallels of what I have been able to deliver here and see what best proposition can I create for an insurance company. After I have won the client, I will go and deploy an expert, or we already have the expertise in-house to kind of go and deploy that model. That becomes a huge differentiator for us because our R&D cost now subsequently reduces. Otherwise, you are keeping on building products without having a revenue coming on top of that, if I was able to answer.
Yes, yes, thank you. Now, as we keep learning from our AI models for a particular industry, say for aviation, as you said, and if you get another airline in the same industry, then your learnings would come very handy and you could very easily ramp up the business, you know, without too much of an investment in there.
Partially correct and partially incorrect. I'll tell you why is it partially correct, because what happens is that workflows are replicable, which means the customer journey of an airline is not going to change, right? So when you book a ticket, you have a fee journey, you have a refund journey, you have a web check-in journey. So the workflows are completely end-to-end. Second, we are not in the business of creating LLMs, which is a large language model, right? What we are in the business is on what sits on top of an LLM. So today, LLMs are commoditized, but what sits on top of an LLM is what we come and differentiate from. So the model can shift from a journey perspective. What LLM, SLM to use, they are already optimized for what we want to use and we already know what works best in this scenario. And hence, right, the replication becomes fairly simple for us. But we are not in the business of, you know, learning from our client's data. We would not want to do that because that's complete conflict of interest. It's an IP of a particular client, which should remain as encrypted, as secured for them.
I appreciate. Now, can you give us, and that's my last question, can you give us a color on how soon will you ramp up within the industry that you are already catering to in the, if you say, next 3 quarters?
Once we deploy the Center of Excellence, we obviously want to market it more. We want to create use cases around it. And we are constantly creating case studies to kind of, garner around same industry, same clients, right? So we've got insurance. We had one, we got the second one right after that. And now we are looking at expanding our horizon within lines of businesses within that insurance company. Once we've done that and once we have the sizable numbers, I think it becomes fairly easy because the proof of the pudding already exists. And we have results that are already out there that talk about our capability and capacity to kind of expand. Once we've acquired a client, now obviously there are limited number of airlines that operate in the country, but we are taking that offering not just on the domestic market, but also to the international side of things right now. Similarly, for insurance, there's a huge population that we need to cater within the Indian boundaries itself. So anywhere between 3 odd quarters or maybe 2.5 quarters is when we should be able to kind of get the next one in. But there is enough and more work once you land into an enterprise client to kind of keep evolving your service lines.
Yeah, thank you so much. All my questions have been answered. And there's only just one passing thought, which I want to touch upon. Would you guys run out of capacity, etc., if the business? And the software tech keeps working the way it is working right now.
Sorry, we lost you for a brief couple of seconds. If you can just repeat.
Yeah. So my question was that if business ramps up rather quickly, would you run out of capacity? And if you do that, would you just need to hire some humans while your software and AI, agentic AI, continues to stay afloat? Or would you need to ramp up that as well?
I think at the back of a business, scaling up is never an issue. So I don't think we'll be running out of capacity. What we are trying to do is we are trying to, create more space or more room in an account by adding more agentic AI into the ecosystem, so that the Pareto still applies, right? 80% of the queries are, generated by 20% of the people and stuff like that. So we are trying to scale up, that capacity on agentic AI, which creates room for adding more work, which will require human intervention for complex software environments.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Thank you so much, sir. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for your time and attention. And we'll see you soon in the coming coffee later. Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. On behalf of 1.1 Solutions Limited, we thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.